Well, good morning, church. Today we are starting a new sermon series that is called Wild Grace, and we will be looking at the goodness of God through the story of the Israelites through the wilderness. And specifically, we are looking at God moving his people from Sinai to the Promised Land. And we will be picking up the story then after God rescues them from being stuck in slavery in Egypt. Right, and you can read about this story in Exodus, where God sends Moses and Aaron, and there's plagues and the Passover and the parting of the Red Sea, and there's all these amazing demonstrations of the power of God. And he leads his people from Egypt down to Sinai, and he leads them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when the cloud lifts, the Israelites move, and when the cloud rests, the Israelites rest. And they spend about 2 years at Mount Sinai in the wilderness there. And in this time, this is where God gives the law. He gives his commands. He gives his instructions on the tabernacle. And he's teaching them. He's teaching them about worship. He's teaching them about atonement. And he reconfirms his covenant with them. And in this time when God is teaching them, He's guiding them, he's preparing them. And they're people that have come out of Egyptian culture. They've been immersed in it. They've been in captivity for over 400 years. And God wants his people to remember him, to know him, and to act like him. So after this time, God is mobilizing his people, and he's moving them towards the promise that he made to them. And this is where we're picking up the story for our sermon series. It is the journey from Sinai to the Promised Land. And we'll find this story in the book of Numbers. And for many of us, the Old Testament might feel dusty or irrelevant. But it is not true. It is the same God who Jesus reveals in the New Testament. And these particular stories about the wilderness are this amazing picture that show us that our lives can sometimes be the same. It's a metaphor for our current situations. Right? If we think about the landscape that the Israelites are wandering in, right? There's little to no rainfall there. So it's bleak and it's empty. And the landscape is mountainous, right? So it's unpredictable and difficult. And their conditions where they were living were temporary, and they were waiting for God to bring about the promise that he had made promise to him. And as Christ followers today, we can relate to this because we too have a future hope and a present adversity, right? Our now can be full of sickness and relational issue and death and sadness and brokenness, right? And even though we don't face a literal journey through the desert, we are currently living in a hostile environment. And these kinds of environments can happen suddenly, right? Where we're ripped out of our normal and we're suddenly in this very new and difficult way. When we think about things like COVID or losing your job or suddenly getting a bad medical diagnosis, it can be jarring and disorienting and chaotic for us. But sometimes it happens gradually too, right? It's like this slow erosion of what was and this looming inevitability. And you slowly watch your bank account dwindle away into nothing, right? It doesn't matter whether you have this explosion of events that leads you into the wilderness or this steady, plodding march there. The landscape is the same. It can be empty and lonely and scary, right? But just as God was moving the Israelites to a land that was flowing with milk and honey, God is moving us too towards the promises that he has for us, for our lives. And over the next few weeks, we will be journeying through Numbers with the Israelites, learning from their example in their wilderness experience. And this morning, we want to start in Numbers 10. And this is where God mobilizes the wilderness generation towards his promise. And we can ask, what can we learn from the Israelites as they embark on their journey? Right? How does their example shape our response as we move into our wilderness experiences? You know, Paul talks about learning from the Israelites' history in 1 Corinthians 10. He says these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. So today we want to learn from their example. Let's pray as we begin. Jesus, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for all you have for us through it. You are living and active. And you penetrate our souls. And we long to be transformed by you this morning. So we pray that you soften our hearts and open our ears and speak. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So during COVID, like so many of us, I've been watching my share of ridiculous shows on Netflix. And lately, one that our family has been watching is called The Floor is Lava. And the idea behind this show is that there's teams of three people, and they have to traverse a room that's set up like an obstacle course, and they have to get to the other side. And the idea is that you can climb the walls or you can swing from things that are on the ceiling or jump on anything. The whole point is to get your team over without falling into the lava below, which is like a pool. And in watching the show, I've noticed that those teams who walk into the space and create a plan right at the onset for how to get to the other side do way better than those teams that just jump in. And those teams that create an approach and a strategy behind how they're going to handle it and help each other do even better. And it reminds me that when we're facing huge obstacles, that it is a good idea to give pause for some guiding principles. Right, and as we look at the scripture today on the Israelites moving out, we can see that God invites us forward in specific ways. As we come across our own wilderness experiences, Numbers 10 helps us to see some practical steps that will help guide us and shape our approach. Right, when we think about those moments in our life where things have suddenly changed, right? And then we have to act, we have to move forward. Times where you might be in a doctor's waiting room, or the time where you didn't get the job, or the time that you discovered that you still aren't pregnant. How do we move ahead? Right? And what does God show us about moving forward into the wilderness? Numbers 10, 11 through 13 shows us our first step. The cloud lifted from the tabernacle on the 20th day of the second month of the second year of Israel's leaving Egypt. So the Israelites left the wilderness of Sinai and followed the cloud until it stopped in the wilderness of Paran. This was their first journey after having received the Lord's travel instructions to Moses. The cloud moved and the people followed. Right? Remember, the cloud was the manifested presence of God. So God set out and the Israelites followed. Right? It's this picture of the shepherd moving his flock. God gave his travel instructions, and the people obeyed. And God shows us that the first step is we align our heart in trust to the purposes of God. When God's travel plans lead us to a difficult place, we're called to obey that direction. Right, obey what he has for our lives. Even if it looks ugly, we're to follow him. Right? Our natural inclination very often is that we want to run the other way. We want to avoid what we're looking ahead into or solve it for ourselves. We come up with an alternative solution that is not nearly as painful as what we're staring at. But God shows us in this scripture that He leads, and our job is to follow. Right? There is no other way around. We submit to His design, His direction, we listen for His guidance, and we obey. And have you ever wondered why God, the God who was able to part the Red Sea to make a way for the Israelites, took them all the way down to Sinai before heading over to the Promised Land? Surely God would have known a more efficient route, right? But clearly this route was intentional. And it is the same for us. Right? We don't dodge our uncomfortable circumstance. We don't question God's itinerary for our lives or find ways to escape it or avoid the adversity. Right? David spent a long time before he became king in the wilderness when he was on the run from Saul. Jesus himself was led into the wilderness after his baptism. The Bible is full of wilderness wanderers, and there must be something important about it, and we can't afford to bypass our opportunity. But I don't know about you, there are times in my life where I have attempted to stay on the fringe of the wilderness, not getting in too deep, not getting scraped or bruised or worse. It's messy and it's hard there and it's difficult and it can be painful. But that isn't what God wants for us on the outskirts, right? That doesn't help anybody. I believe that God uses these stripped back, ripped open moments that we are deeply aware of our lack of ability and intensely aware of His utter ability and our dependence on Him. And He uses these moments to train us, to stretch us, and grow us. Hebrews 12:11 tells us that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And when we see those Israelites going through, following after God in this difficult terrain, we have the same invitation. It's not necessarily a physical journey for us, but we have the same invitation to follow God through difficulty. And I just think of all those times in my life, right in the middle of the ugly of it all. And God has used those moments as training ground. I remember a time that I thought I was at the end of myself. And He used his word to teach me how to respond to my circumstance. He whispered, "In me you have hope. In me you have future." In times where I had been weary and done and undone, and the Spirit encouraged me and lifted me, right? His words, "The Lord your God fights for you." God longs to direct us, teach us, train us. But our hearts must be oriented to Him, and we must be open to go His way. We must obey. As His sheep, we must know His voice. And we have to be obeying to, open and obeying to what He is inviting us to. Right? By aligning our hearts with His heart and living out His commands in our life, right? He's transforming us. He's growing our character. He's healing pain. He's building faith and trust. He's bringing joy and hope to us. Right? But we have to step into the wilderness, right, and go where He leads. We must know our good shepherd and follow His voice. We have to trust His plans for our life and go in the way of His direction. Right? We posture our position behind our Lord, and trust him to lead us, whether it's high on the mountain or down in the valley. In heading out into the wilderness, we have to align our hearts in trust for the purposes of God. The next important example that the Israelites show us when we head into the wilderness is found in verses 14 through 28. At the head of the march was the tribe of Judah, grouped behind its flag. Next came the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Zebulun. The tabernacle was taken down, and the tribe of Levi were next in the line of march, carrying the tabernacle upon their shoulders. Then came the flag of the camp of Reuben. Next was the tribe of Simeon and the tribe of Gad. Next in line was the tribe of Ephraim behind its flag and the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Benjamin. And last of all were the tribes headed by the flag of the tribe of Dan, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Naphtali. That was the order in which the tribes traveled. God gave order to the tribes as they traveled. Right? And that order was together. The people of God were united together. And commentaries tell us that this formation is a battle formation. They're military positions. We see the larger tribes at the front and the back, and the smaller tribes in the middle. And the Lord, he was calling his people to move forward. And firstly, he says, arrange your life around me. And then he says, arrange your life around each other. The second important lesson that we learn about heading into the wilderness is that we arrange our lives within the people of God. Right? The ark goes out in front, is the presence of the Lord, and the tribes are behind as one, protecting each other, protecting one another. And it's a similar picture of Christ, right? The head of the church over the body, all being held together in him. We do not go out in the wilderness alone, right? We're not abandoned or lonely or separated, even though it can feel like that sometimes. God's family is called to journey together, right? And this is support for one another and care for one another and building each other up. Right? Just think about the strength that we would have in adversity when God's people move together. Just think about the power in the heavenlies when God's people worship and pray together. And hardship, as we walk in, will be a battle. But we're not against each other. We are for each other in Christ Jesus. And God is showing us that on this journey, there is support. There is community. We arrange our lives around the people of God. As the Israelites moved as one behind the ark, there was diversity in the community of the tribes. Right? And we are one in Christ as well. Though many, we are individually members of one another, each with our own gifts and strengths and service and ministry. There is diversity in this community, and it is discovered and it is experienced when we're in the body of Christ. So let me ask you, in what ways is your life arranged around the people of God? Right? We cannot give up meeting together. Not in a pandemic even. We Zoom, we call, we meet where we can. We connect in life group. We serve in teams. We serve on mission. And we bear with each other in love. We build each other up. We spur each other on to good deeds. Right? At the beginning of our journey, we arrange ourselves underneath the leadership of God, but as well, we arrange our lives amongst the people of God. Right? This is a really important second lesson that God is teaching us about heading into the wilderness. We must arrange our lives within the people of God. But we don't just travel exclusively together as God's people. Right, in this text, we see that we invite others to join in on the journey and pursue the promise. In Numbers 10, verses 29 through 32, it tells us, "One day Moses said to his brother-in-law, Hobab, son of Reuel the Midianite, 'At last we are on our way to the promised land. Come with us, and we will do you good. For the Lord has given wonderful promises to Israel.' But his brother-in-law replied, 'No, I must return to my own land and my kinfolk.' 'Stay with us,' Moses pleaded, 'for you know the ways of the wilderness and will be a great help to us. If you come, you will share in all the good things the Lord does for us.'" And what we hear and what we learn from these verses is that as the Israelites are heading out into the wilderness, they are also cooperating with, they are participating in God's work. Right, the third principle as we move forward towards God's promise by grace is that we advance the kingdom and the plans of God. And Moses demonstrates that God's promise, it just isn't for a particular group of people. Right? God's promise is for all people, all nations, all backgrounds. And we see it when Moses invites his brother-in-law, who's a Midianite. Right? Moses knows the goodness of God and the promise of all that lies ahead of them. But he also knows the brokenness of the world around him and this world that's filled with false gods and idols and deities and these false gods and how they are worshipped in these cruel and repulsive ways. And Moses knows that there is no God like the one true God. God's holiness and his redemption, his faithfulness to his people, his mercy and his grace. And so it is for Moses, as Simpson says, right? This is the God the world needs to know. This is the gospel the world needs to hear. And this is the love the world needs to see. So Moses does not let up. He implores Hobab to come with them. And these verses, they compel us. Our situation is very much the same, right? Today we have false gods and idols, fake hope and empty promises. And even when we're in the wilderness, we don't let off the gas. Right? What greater place is there to display Jesus, his peace, his comfort, his healing, his rest, as we walk through difficulty? We have an opportunity to display faith in his plans. Right? We have opportunity to share his good news with people who don't know him. Like Moses did, we can offer to others the opportunity to come and to journey together into all the promises that God has for us in Christ Jesus. And we do this in seemingly small moments, in big moments. We make Jesus known. We display him by our lives. We can share him with our testimony. We can reflect him in our very conduct. Right? God sets apart the Israelites to be a holy nation, a people that are unlike the rest of the world around them. They're chosen by God to reflect God in that world, right? And it's like us today. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We are to declare Jesus, right, whose character is marked by faithfulness and truth and humility and love and sacrifice and goodness. And then he is seen and he is experienced through his people, through us. Right, as we've been transformed by his indwelling spirit, we demonstrate him by our very lives, our conduct, our speech, our unity. Right, we display what Jesus is like. And as we head through our wilderness to the promised land, we have opportunity, just like Moses demonstrates to us, to advance the kingdom and the plans of God. So as we get to the end of Numbers 10, verses 33 through 36 give us one more important guiding principle. They traveled for 3 days after leaving Mount Sinai with the ark at the front to choose a place for them to stop. It was daytime when they left, with the cloud moving along ahead of them as they began their march. As the ark was carried forward, Moses cried out, "Arise, O Lord, and scatter your enemies. Let them flee before you." And when the ark was set down, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the millions of Israel." So as the people of Israel went forward into the wilderness, the cloud went before them day and night, guiding them. The ark representing the very presence of God. God was leading the way. God was with them. God was before them. God was behind them. God rested with them. He moved with them. He went ahead of them and fought for them. He returned and he dwelled with them. And as we move forward into the wilderness, these verses show us that we are never alone. Right? First we travel with the confidence of God's leading and his direction. And then we travel in unity with our family in Christ. And we travel with new people who long to know God and his promises. But these verses tell us of God's presence with us everywhere, all the time, in everything. Right? And what we learn by the Israelites' example is that our journey is in Christ, right? We abide in Christ to receive the promises of God. Like the ark went before the Israelites, Jesus goes before us. He is at our rear guard. He secures our rest. He watches over our footing as we travel. He fights every battle. He wins every victory. We can call out to Jesus, and he draws near to us. As God never left the Israelites, Jesus never leaves us. Jesus, who was well acquainted with sorrow and suffering, Jesus, the trailblazer of wilderness journeys. In Matthew 4, after his baptism, the Spirit leads Jesus out. And he's there for 40 days. And he's depending on the Father. And he's faithfully holding on to truth. But Jesus didn't simply go through this to give us his example, that we can go through the wilderness because Jesus went through the wilderness. No, Jesus accomplished all that Jesus accomplished that he might give us him. Right? We abide in him and he gives us his obedience. As we abide in him, he gives us his faithfulness. As we abide in him, he gives us his power. It is in Christ, by his Spirit, that we can align our hearts in trust for God's good purpose. It is in Christ, by his Spirit, that we can arrange our lives within his people. It is by Christ and in his Spirit that we advance his kingdom forward. In Christ, by his Spirit in us, we abide and enjoy never-ending communion with Jesus. Right? Christ in us, he is equipping us for the wilderness journey, and Christ in us is our assurance, he is our confidence, he is our hope in all of it. And with every step forward, every step, we boldly declare, as Moses did, Jesus before me, Jesus within me. Because in a dry and thirsty land, our hearts will need reminding, right, of that living water that flows deep inside, that refreshes our soul. He comforts us, his friendship, his wisdom. Always, Jesus gives us his promise. In Matthew 28:20, he says, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And these verses and numbers display for us a powerful principle about traveling through wilderness experiences. That as we abide in Christ, we will see the promises of God. And so, friends, as we find ourselves facing adversity, we need to remember how God invites us to position ourselves before heading into that wilderness. We align our hearts in trust for the purposes of God. We arrange our lives within the people of God. We advance the kingdom and the plans of God, and we abide in Christ to receive the promises of God. And when we do this, we watch our mighty God create and transform and grow by grace in the wild. He makes slaves sons. He turns bondage to freedom, orphans to family. God turns dust to glory. God doesn't ever waste a thing. Friends, may we learn from the generations who have gone before us. Let's pray. We thank you, Jesus, for your beautiful truth. And what happened so long ago teaches us today and influences our lives. We pray that we leave here today transformed by you. We pray that we would be a people that at the onset of every decision that we make, that we align ourselves in obedience with your goodness and your direction. May that be our heart's cry, that we would follow where you lead us. And Jesus, may we be a people that arrange ourselves within your body, and that we would celebrate the diversity that is in community as we see your example in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May it be so in the body, rejoicing and celebrating how you gift us and the strength that we have. We pray, Jesus, that we would be mindful and ever-present of those who are around us in our sphere that you are calling us to invite in on the beautiful journey that it is to your promises. And we pray that by your grace we would hold on and abide in you. You are our hope and our stay. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence and your power and your promise that you never leave us. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.